First of Kings, chapter 3. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. Well, I think this is the girl that's in the Song of Solomon, and that's a very, very human relationship, and they're all getting attracted to each other just because of the sort of perfume she wears and because of the sort of jewelry she wears and all that sort of thing. And, you know, God had said in the law, if you marry other women from other nations, they will surely turn away your heart. And we're later going to read that that's what happened with Solomon, that when he was older, his wives turned away his heart and he stopped believing in Yahweh. He stopped believing in God and believed in the idols of his wives. How awful. And he goes wrong right at the beginning doing this. At that time, the people sacrificed in the high places because there was no house built for the name of Yahweh. Solomon loved Yahweh, walking in the laws of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. I understand that to mean that he loved God insofar as he obeyed all that his father told him to do. Because he was really obsessed with his dad. He talks so many times, you know, hundreds of times Solomon uses the term my father David, David my father. He's on and on about my father David. Now faith, real faith, cannot be just living out what your dad wants. And maybe sons particularly have this tendency at some point in their lives to live out just their father's expectation. And they're obsessed with their father, my father David, David my father. And yet in the end, that's not the way to faith. Because in the end, Solomon turned away from God. And there's no way round it. Each man must cut his own path through the jungle. Each person's got to come to their own relationship with God. And God will work in your life to do that. You might get thrown out of your church. You might fall out with your dad. You might go through a divorce. You might have health issues. You might have problems where you work. You might have persecution in the country you live in, whatever it is. God will work through it so that you become an individual before God and not just following the faith of mum and dad. So the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And he hasn't really understood what his father understood, that God doesn't want thousands of animals sacrificed. What he wants is a broken and a humble heart, which is not what Solomon had. Solomon said, when God asked him, ask what I shall give you. Solomon said, you have shown to your servant David my father great grace, according as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. You have kept for him this great grace that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. So he has a pretty high view of his father David, when David was not at all so fully upright. But anyway, he says, you have allowed me to sit on his throne. Now, Yahweh my God, you've made your servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. I think that means to lead your people. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you've chosen, a great people that can't be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this, your great people? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for yourself long life, neither have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, therefore I have done according to your word. Behold, I have already given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there has been none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like you. I've also given you that which you've not asked, both riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like you all your days. And if you walk in my ways to keep my laws as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So, he asked for wisdom rather than all the material things, and God was very pleased with that and said, okay, I give you wisdom, and I'll also give you wealth and all the things that men like to have. And I think that James talks about that when he says that you need to seek wisdom. Or Jesus says, seek the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you.
It's not better to have, it is better to have wealth or a car, because it makes you not believe in God or anyone. Then you start believing in him.
That's right. It's not great to be wealthy because then you stop believing in God. Well, that is what often happens. And it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, isn't it? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. So, yeah, God does give him all this wealth and these extra things because he is so impressed with Solomon's desire for wisdom. Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings. So, the lesson is, of course, to seek wisdom more than anything else, to want to have God's wisdom, to be wise. That is the way we've got to be. And to not seek all the material things. If God says, you know, what do you want? And I'll give it to you. So I think we have to ask ourselves, what is my greatest desire? If God said that to you, if God said, what do you want? Whatever you want, I give it to you. What would you ask for? And if you would ask, if the answer to that question is I would ask for material things, well, I'm afraid you got it wrong. All the emphasis on being healthy and wealthy and prosperous and all this sort of thing, that's not what God wants for you. This is a false understanding of God. What he wants most of all is for you to be wise and to serve him acceptably and to help other people to serve him. That is what it was to be wise in this context. So then we have an example of this wisdom. Two women who were prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh my lord, I and this woman live in one house. I gave birth with her in the house. It happened the third day after I gave birth that this woman gave birth also. We were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, just us two in the house. This woman's child died in the night because she lay on it. She arose at midnight and she took my son, my baby son, from beside me while I was sleeping and laid it in her breast and laid her dead child, her dead baby, on my breast. When I got up in the morning to nurse my child, behold, it was dead. But when I looked at it in the morning, it was not my son whom I bore. The other woman said, 'No, but the living baby is mine, and the dead one is yours.' And the other said, 'No, but the dead one is yours, and the living one is mine.' And thus they spoke before the king." Well, prostitute is a woman who sleeps with men for money. And under the law of Moses, it was very clear a prostitute must be burnt to death. You mustn't allow these people to be in Israel. So Solomon could have turned around, he was following the law of Moses strictly, and said, "Okay, you ladies, you admit this is the sort of people you are. Right, okay, so let's just kill both of you. End of the story." But he doesn't. So the first bit of wisdom he shows is in not putting people to death when, according to the law, they should have been put to death, like his father, David, should have been killed. But he wasn't, and then so there'd have been no Solomon. So Solomon said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' The king said, 'Get me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. The king said, 'Well, divide the living child into two. Cut the child in half. Give half the baby to one of the women and the other half to the other woman.' Then the woman, whose the living child was, spoke to the king, for her heart yearned over her son. And she said, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child and in no way kill it.' But the other said, 'It shall be neither mine nor yours. Cut it up. The king said, 'Give her the living child and in no way kill it. She is its mother.'" And that's how he left it. He didn't say, you lied to this woman who was lying. He doesn't judge her further. So I think the wisdom of it is in not actually judging people in the sense of condemning people. All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. So actually not killing somebody when they, as it were, deserve it according to the law of Moses, that is called justice. That is called the wisdom of God. And we've got to have that same grace in how we deal with people.